listening to the Apollo Podcast Network. One.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Launchpad Podcast presented by Apollo Media. All Houston, all original. I am your host, Taylor Pate. You can find me on Twitter at Taylor L. Pate. And I am joined today by Drew Middleton. You can find him on Twitter at HTX underscore Drew underscore. How's it going, Drew?
Good. I'm good. How are you?
I am doing pretty well. We are 2 days from the draft. Things are starting to heat up. There's a lot of rumors. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on Twitter all over the league. Tonight, we're going to kind of discuss kind of a bunch of those rumors in the first segment. We'll get to Jalen Green's media session in the second segment. And then finally, we will be pulling some of the bold predictions from Twitter as far as the draft goes. And then we'll give our final prediction on the draft. And we'll talk a little bit about the events coming up over the next couple of days. So first, as far as rumors go, we heard today that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the sixth pick were offered from Oklahoma City to Detroit for the first pick. Detroit obviously has refused. A lot of Rockets Twitter was kind of discussing today about whether or not they would take that package for Jalen Green. What do you think about that? Kind of where do you lie on that argument and why?
So I think first of all, I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a great player. He's very young, but he's shown flashes like he's capable of being an all-star player. So if the Thunder offered us that package for number two, I would immediately accept it. I wouldn't even think about it. I would just say yes. And then you would just have to figure out who you wanted to pick at six, but I would say yes to that trade package.
Yeah, and I'm about 60-40 leaning towards Jalen Green, but I think that comes from me being like a not really believing the whole bird in the hand is worth two in the whatever. I personally, it's so close for me because, like you said, Shai is an incredible player. He is still young. He's coming up to the end of his rookie contract, ready for a rookie extension, which would put him north of $30 million a year. At that level, it's acceptable because $30 million is not an insane amount as far as the cap goes. But for a team that's got so many young guys and has this timeline, I guess, coming up for competing as a team, the $30 million figure, it scares me off just a little bit. But man, you know, Shai's like a 22-5-5 guy on like 50-40-80 shooting, and that is just so hard to find. And he's young. I mean, that's not even his, you know, necessarily his ceiling.
Like you said, he's still very young. Like, he's showed at such a young age that he's capable of scoring at an elite level in this league. And even though the Thunder were really bad this year and they didn't really have any many offensive options on offense, he was able to carry them and win games when they were actively trying to tank.
Yeah, so much so that they shut him down. Yeah, like, that's insane. He was so good that they were like, okay, we can't have this. We're trying to get that number one pick. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. That is definitely a reason you would trade the second pick for him. And honestly, 22-5-5 would be, a lot of people would be really happy with Jalen Green putting up those kind of numbers. I think the expectation that a lot of people have is that Jalen Green will wind up being, you know, like a 28 point per game scorer. And that's pretty tough to get to. That's some pretty big shoes to fill. So moving on to a couple more of these rumors, you actually brought this up in our group chat today, Evan Mobley's dad reportedly does not like the idea of him playing in Houston with Kevin Porter Jr. What did you hear about that, and what are your thoughts?
So today I was on Twitter, I was in a group chat, and we were talking, and then someone brought up that why is no one talking about the fact that Evan Mobley's dad coached Kevin Porter Jr. at USC, and he was an assistant coach, not a head coach. So there could be reasoning behind why Mobley's comp doesn't want him to play in Houston, and it could be coming directly from his dad, because KPJ hasn't really, you know, praised Mobley like he has some of the other young prospects in the draft, and vice versa. Mobley hasn't really mentioned KPJ in his press conference and all that. He did mention Christian Wood, but if I recall, I don't remember him mentioning KPJ once.
Yeah, and I think we've all kind of seen the media affair that that Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. have shared. They're very clearly not hiding the fact that they're friends and support one another and stuff like that. And you know, in the next segment, we'll talk a little bit about Jalen Green and his thoughts on Houston from his media session today. But I think that it's really apparent that there's a difference between Evan Mobley's view of Houston and Jalen Green's view of Houston. And I think ultimately that may have played into, you know, the Rockets' decision a little bit. I'm not saying Kevin Porter Jr. is like someone worth making those kind of decisions for just yet. But he has the potential to be, you know, he's really flashed like some superstar powers. And so while I don't think that they should be basing anything off of Kevin Porter Jr.'s opinion, I also don't want to have a guy come in his first year and already not, you know, want to be here and cause issues.
Also, I think you can look at Marvin Bagley with the Kings and how his camp has kind of caused issues in the Kings organization, because he hasn't been doing too well, even though they picked him really high. But the camp has been acting like he's been an all-star level player, and his dad has been causing a rift between the front office and Marvin Bagley. So I don't want that here with Mobley. If he doesn't want to be here now before he's even in the league, then I just say you go with Jalen Green, who's pretty much shown that he's interested in playing here, along with Kevin Porter Jr.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And that's a fantastic example right there of, you know, you get parents' involvement and you know, a lot of guys are, their camp is run by their parents, you know, their team is run by their parents, and they have a big influence on that, those type of decisions. And yeah, I would hate for Mobley to come here, not want to, you know, really be here, play poorly, and then wind up in the same situation that Sacramento's in right now, where they're trying to get scraps for Evan Mobley. Mm-hmm. So moving on here, looks like Detroit still has not made a definitive pick. Now, I don't know what kind of posturing might be going on. I don't know if they're still trying to get the Rockets to trade up, but what do you think about Detroit not being set, you know, reportedly on Cade Cunningham with the first pick?
So I honestly think they may already be set on Cade Cunningham, but they're, like you said, posturing to try to see if the Rockets will throw some godfather offer to try to move up one spot to get Cade. And they may have some interest in Jalen Green, but you don't know how much that's been exaggerated by media and all that type of stuff to try to create a story, because we're in the off season, no games are going on, so they need to generate clicks. So it could be that. But I will say that if the Detroit is truly interested in Green, and like some people have been saying, then they would just pick him one. Like, I don't see why they need to move down. And well, they obviously want to get assets from the Rockets, but if the Rockets are willing to call Detroit's bluff and say, okay, you go ahead and pick him one, then we'll get Cade too, they should do that. Because I feel like if they give up too much and then in the end Detroit wasn't going to even pick Cade, then it's probably a lose-lose situation for the Rockets, because they also like Green. So I just feel like you go with who falls you at two. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I definitely agree there. I think I think a large portion of this is Detroit trying to get some assets. I think they like Jalen Green, and I think that in any draft that didn't have Cade Cunningham, they would be picking Jalen Green outright. I firmly believe that they, you know, view him highly and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, Cade Cunningham is Cade Cunningham. He's the top player in this draft, and there's really no question about that. And I do think that, I do think that Detroit will pick Cade Cunningham ultimately. I mean, it doesn't seem to me as if the Rockets plan to throw some huge offer at them. And ultimately I think it falls, you know, Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green. That's kind of been rumored over the last couple of weeks after there was kind of an even split for a little while between Jalen Green and Evan Mobley with the second pick, but it over the last 10 days or so has really fallen in Jalen Green's favor. And we saw Jalen Green's media session earlier today, which we'll talk about, but we also saw that Jalen Green took the Rockets jet to New York. And granted, this could be the, you know, just the team trying to be cool with him and, you know, offer him a free flight and all this kind of stuff. But I mean, I certainly think that there's something to be said for the fact that Jalen Green seems extremely comfortable with the Rockets organization already and familiar with them. I mean, do you think that, you know, Jalen Green kind of cozying up to the Rockets is indicative of, you know, I guess his thoughts and where he wants to go?
Yeah, I feel like it is. I feel like the draft is already set. I feel like you said, Cade's going one, Green's going two, then Moby's going three. I feel like that's just how it's going to be. And Jalen Green has been on social media with KPJ, and he's been nothing but positive about the Rockets. Everything I've seen him say, for example, like we're going to talk about later, his media session has been, it was awesome. He said all the right things to make the Rockets look good, himself look good. And I think I'm excited to pick him at two, because I believe that's who we're getting.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And with that being said, we're actually going to close up on this segment, and we'll get to Jalen Green's media session right in the next one. So stick around.
Looking for a better way to rep H-Town? Be sure to check out ApolloHOU.com for Astros and Rockets apparel you can't find anywhere else. Use promo code LAUNCH for 10% off at checkout. Apollo HOU, all Houston, all original.
And continuing on here at the Launchpad Podcast, presented by Apollo Media. If you enjoy the show, make sure you do us a favor and drop us a review. Let us know what you think about the show. Make sure you follow our Twitter account at Apollo Launchpad. I'm here with my man, Drew. We are discussing Jalen Green's media session today, which seemed very Rockets-centric. There was a lot of questions about the Rockets and a lot of talking about the Rockets. Part of that is because yesterday, Jalen flew to Houston and completed a workout, met the Rockets staff, and I guess kind of went through the motions with them. He also confirmed that he only worked out for Detroit and Houston. So in his mind, he is either one or two. And that's just how he sees himself. What does that tell you about Jalen Green, Drew? What do you think about him only working out for the top two teams?
Well, I think that he thinks that he's going to go either one or two. I think that's basically what it says, but it also shows that he has confidence in his abilities, that he's a good enough player to go that high. He picked that high, which he is. He's shown that in the G League this past season. He was really good. But I also think it shows that he has some knowledge, or someone has told him that it's between those two teams. Probably his agent has told him that, hey, it's either going to be Detroit picking you or Houston picking you, so you don't need to go work out, fly to Cleveland and work out there, or fly to Toronto and work out there. So I think it's honestly just you know, it's, as it is, he's going to go one or two, but I'm leaning two.
Yeah, I think that you brought up his G League time, and honestly, I feel like he really sees that as like a big accomplishment as a player to go and play against these, you know, grown men and NBA players and, mm-hmm. and, you know, legitimately talented guys. I think he legitimately has the confidence in himself and the mentality that he is the best player in this draft. And, you know, if he's not going one, there's no way somebody else is passing him up, which I really like. I really enjoyed Jalen Green's confidence. I think his work ethic has been talked about, you know, to no end. And to me, it speaks as a guy who who's not going to come to the league and, you know, be lazy and see himself as a talent that doesn't need to work hard and stuff like that. He seems very much confident in his abilities and his work ethic. He also mentioned that he wants to be the rookie of the year, and he talked about being potentially making an all defensive team. Said he wants to be a two way player. To me, that I think that's a little harder for him to accomplish. Not the rookie of the year. I think that's, you know, well within reason. But you know, guards that come into the NBA typically struggle defensively early on, and I think what he's going to need to do is put on a little bit of size and really work on his lateral quickness, which we know he has because he uses it offensively. What do you think about Jalen Green wanting to be an all defensive type of player?
Well, I think it's great. Honestly, it's good that he's even mentioning that, because in the past, some rookies have just talked about rookie of the year. They haven't even thought about, like, you know, making a defensive team. I think it's great. It's showing he's already thinking ahead of the game, not just rookie of the year. He's thinking down the line, even this season. But I don't think it's a realistic thing for him to accomplish this season. It's great that he wants to, but like you said, he's a young guard coming in, and he's going to be facing some of the best players in the world, the best players in the world. So it's going to take a lot of adjusting to the quickness of the game and how players play. The officiating may be a little bit different than in the G League. And so it's going to be harder for him to go out there and defend these guys like he was defending the other players in the G League.
Yeah, and to me, his attitude very much reminds me of Kobe Bryant, which I know he's said a few times, even today, that he, you know, he watched Kobe growing up, and Kobe was, you know, the number one guy for him. He also mentioned Michael Jordan, watching Michael Jordan growing up, and I looked and I was like, you know, Jalen Green was born in 2002. Michael Jordan retired in 2003. So it must have been, you know, YouTube that he was watching Michael Jordan on. But yeah, his mentality so much to me reminds me of Kobe Bryant. You know, just like everybody said that Kobe Bryant was going to outwork anybody that came to the gym. And, you know, Kobe was obviously an all-defensive player. And I truly think that Jalen is modeling himself after Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, honestly, I think that what you said is exactly right. He's stating how he likes Kobe. And I also think it's great that he's modeling his game after Kobe, because when you model your game after Kobe, you don't only model how you play, but the work ethic, like going in early, leaving late, and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, Mamba mentality.
Mamba mentality, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He also spoke specifically about the Rockets as a team, and he said this is a quote: "Rockets are an exciting team. They get out and run. They play hard. I think it would be a good fit offensively." And you know, in Steven Silas's offense, you see Jalen Green as you know, like a good fit. To me, he's a plug and play dude. You can put him anywhere. Like, he's a scorer. You know, so to me, I think it's a fantastic fit. You know, and I think he's put in a great position to excel. What do you think about his fit with the Rockets?
Well, I think his fit is great. I think him playing alongside KPJ, Wood, Tate, all those guys just is setting him up for success, because a lot of those guys are great at what they do. Tate is a great defender. So if someone blows by Green because he's a rookie, Tate can go in and help him and back him up. And then Wood is a great roller. So if he wants to work on passing, he can have Wood set the screens and then roll like that, roll to the basket. I just think the fit is great. Silas is a great coach. And his system is awesome for players like Green. if you go back to when he was an assistant at Dallas, they had the best offense in the league. And then if you notice when he left, that stopped. So I think his system is going to work perfectly for Green.
Yeah, no, you've got a really good point, especially what you said about Christian Wood as a role man, you know, and that's Jalen Green spoke with Mike Schmitz from, I believe, ESPN. And one of the main things that he said was he really wanted to work on his playmaking. And I think it's, you can do a whole lot worse in the league than having Christian Wood as your finisher, you know, on the roll. So I think that's certainly a huge advantage for Jalen Green and his development. And I think, you know, having a guy like Jayshon Tate to, you know, teach him some defensive principles and kind of show him, the thing about Jayshon is he knows his position. He knows where everybody's supposed to be on the court, especially defensively. And so that's something that he can really teach Jalen, you know, kind of show him the ropes defensively. And then you've got, you know, a guy like Kevin Porter Jr., you know, who's we've seen is a really, really good playmaker, capable of double digit assists on any given night. I think the fit here is really, honestly, fantastic. And that's not just because Jalen Green is a scorer and a plug and play guy. I think that specifically for Jalen Green, the Rockets have enough talent around him to allow him to experiment and succeed and without, you know, lofty expectations or anything like that. Another comment that he made is that this is the best draft class since 2003. I think he might not be wrong top to bottom, but 2003 was really top heavy. You know, you've got LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Paul as well. Carmelo Anthony. I mean, that was a hell of a draft.
Yeah, that was one of the best. That's probably one of the greatest, if not the greatest of all time.
Yeah, I think 84 might be the only one that's up there with Hakeem and Michael Jordan, you know, so on and so forth. But I think the 2018 class has a pretty decent shot of being better than this one. You know, you got Luka and Trey, Shai Gilgeous, DeAndre Ayton. So I think it's certainly possible for this to be the best draft class since 2003, but I guess that a lot of that really depends on how guys after four turn out, because I think I think everybody feels like one through four are all very safe bets to be high quality NBA players. And then kind of after that, you start to, you know, see maybe there's a hit or a miss here and there.
Yeah.
Are there any guys that, you know, you see in this draft class outside of the top four that are just like, you know, I think this guy's going to be a stud and he could, you know, carry this draft class to looking even better?
Well, honestly, there's a lot of those guys in the later rounds because the Rockets have picks 23 and 24. So I've been doing a lot of reading on the players that'll be available around that time. But I've also seen people talking about like picks 5 through 15. Like all of those guys in there are solid. I feel like this draft class, its advantage over, you know, something like 03 is that the guys in the later round are going to be great players too. Because like, I mean, there's so many different guards that I would love the Rockets to pick at 23 or 24 if they have those picks. If they don't, they may get up to 10 with a possible Eric Gordon package. But I think it's just a solid draft class all around. I really like Jaden Springer. I feel like he's going to be a great player. And the Rockets have looked at him, and I hope they pick him at 23 if he's available.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. And this is definitely a guard-heavy draft. And I think that a lot of these guards look the part for the NBA. I think they look really solid, especially as playmakers. You know, there's some really good passers in this draft. And I think, you know, like you talked about the 5 through 15 range, there are some guys who would probably normally be like top five picks. And, you know, I think this draft class does have a lot of potential to be very deep and have a lot of guys who are, you know, solid rotational players for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Go ahead. Rockets did get lucky this year that they got their pick in this year's draft and not last year's. I feel like this year's draft class totally blows away last year's. Like, the top three last year, they're going to be great players. But I feel like this year's is just, it's stacked from the top to the bottom.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think this draft has a potential to be, you know, generational. I think there's potentially 2 to 3 generational players in this first round. I think that, you know, Cade coming in feels like he has a very high floor starting off already, just because he's such a patient player. He's so comfortable just having the ball in his hands, and he knows how to just wait it out and make the right play. And I see so many people comparing him to like Grant Hill or like Paul George or something like that. And while I do feel like that, I feel like he has some Harden to his game, because we saw Harden, you know, in Houston, and he's a guy who knows how to wait things out. He knows how to see the play develop for, you know, like 8 to 12 seconds. And he might not be the fastest guy. He might not be the most athletic, but he sees the floor so well that he can watch these plays develop. And I think there's a lot of that in Cade's game.
Yeah, I do too. I think what he plays, like you mentioned Paul George, I think that's a great comparison, not necessarily on, like, you know, every aspect of both of their games, but Paul George, if you watch him, he doesn't dribble like extremely fast. He's very slow and methodical in how he plays basketball. Like, he looks like he's going to lose the ball, but he's actually just doing a dribble move, and then he'll end up crossing you over and then getting to the basket to draw a foul, or he'll pull up for a jump shot. And I'm like, watching Cade this past year, he has some of that to his game where he looks super slow, but then he can kill you on the burst or find the open man, go to the driving lane, draw a foul, or shoot the ball. So,
yeah, absolutely. And I think Cade's a very smart player as well. And you know, all of his interviews, he's sounded the part. I think he really could be a genuinely generational talent to come out of this draft. And I think that, you know, Evan Mobley has that potential as a, you know, kind of a unicorn big man. And Jalen Green as a scorer. I mean, there's really three guys who are all, you know, good enough to be number one overall draft picks. That is going to do it for this segment. Coming up, we are going to discuss some bold predictions from you guys from Twitter, and we're going to give our final prediction for what happens on Thursday, and we're going to discuss a couple of things coming up this week as well.
Looking for a better way to rep H-Town? Be sure to check out ApolloHOU.com for Astros and Rockets apparel you can't find anywhere else. Use promo code LAUNCH for 10% off at checkout. Apollo HOU, all Houston, all original.
All right, this will be the final segment for tonight's episode of the Launchpad Podcast. Again, make sure you leave us a review, subscribe to us on Spotify, iTunes, or Apple, wherever you listen to your podcast. You know, let us know what you think. Give us some stars, and we definitely love hearing from you guys. So for our last segment, we've got some bold predictions and or draft pick predictions from Twitter that we want to discuss, as well as a couple of questions that I think some people sent in. So let's start there, actually. Apollo Dez. Oh, we know that guy. He asked, what is Jalen Green having for lunch? I mean, Dez has this way of just asking the really hard hitting questions, you know, the deep, like thought provoking type of questions that are just, you know, just a chef's kiss, you know. What do you think Jalen Green is having for lunch or had for lunch today?
Honestly, I have no idea. Maybe maybe a ham sandwich. I don't know. We'll have to get sources on that.
If Tillman gave him a ham sandwich for lunch at his hotel, then we might be in trouble. If I had to guess, I would say he probably ate something like turkey leg hut or some sort of Houston staple.
Probably Landry's.
Or Landry's, yeah. That seems like a pretty logical answer. Which, hey, there's some pretty damn good Landry's food. Mm-hmm. So Des, you make sure to keep sending us those just magnificent questions. Another one here is from Little Bro Taylor. Said, if Trey Mann doesn't drop to 23, who would you love to see there? And I guess we can kind of expand this question and say, who do you like in that range overall for the Rockets?
Well, there's a lot of names that could be great at that area in the draft. But specifically, I would love them to pick Jaden Springer if he's available. And then Cam Thomas. I like both of those guys a lot. I know some people are iffy on if Cam Thomas is going to be a good guard, but I think he has great potential. And I think he will definitely be available in that range. And Jaden Springer, I just think he's a great basketball player. He's going to be a great player in the league, role player. And I think he's just what the Rockets need.
Yeah, no, I actually like both of those names a lot. And I think I'd probably throw, a guy that we've talked a lot about in Rockets Twitter, Trey Murphy. It seems, though, that he's moving up a lot of people's draft boards, so he may not be available at that range. I do like Sharif Cooper, although I don't love the fit with the Rockets. I think he's got some really good potential in the league. I also like Miles McBride quite a bit. It's another guy that I would like to take there. But I really just feel like there's so many players in that range that are worthy of those picks.
One name I forgot to bring up that I've been pretty high on recently is Bones. I think he's going to be really good.
I agree. I think Bones Highland has a lot of potential. He's tall and thin, but he's got a damn ratchet. That man can shoot. And I think he fills out a little bit, and he's got, like high caliber role player written all over him. Let's see. So another bold prediction here. This one is from Britt, who has joined us and hosted several of the Launchpad podcasts. She says the Rockets trade either the 23rd or 24th pick or both to assist in the trade of Eric Gordon to Indiana. What do you feel about that prediction?
I honestly think that is a very possible outcome, because I've seen reports about Indiana being interested in Eric Gordon and vice versa, because Eric, he's from Indiana. Recently, it was mentioned in a podcast, he has his pizza shop in Indiana. I know that's a matter, but he lived in Indiana and then went to school in Indiana.
Yep. And so then, there's an obvious connection there for sure.
Yeah, there's a connection. And also, and
the 13th pick is that's, there's a lot of really good guys, like we were talking about at the 13th pick. Who would you like to see if they were to get that pick?
That's a tough one. Honestly, if Kispert is still there, I think he's a great pick at that range, but he may be off the board. There's a lot of names. I haven't really been looking as much at that range because it's not a definite possibility, but there's also a lot of good, talented players available there.
Like, yeah,
you stated earlier.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing is, with the Rockets having the 23rd and 24th pick, we've kind of been spending so much time like looking at a big like number of these players in this range because they have two picks back to back, right? So we're not just predicting a singular pick. We have to predict two picks. And so that, for me especially, I've been focusing on guys from like 18 to like 36 on big boards and kind of, watching those guys and seeing how they could fit with the Rockets and all that. I have not done a ton of research on like 8 through 16 or something like that. So you mentioned Kispert. I think he is definitely worthy there. I did hear that he apparently had a bad workout for a team, or not a bad workout, just an unimpressive workout. And so maybe he's falling down a little bit. If he's there, I think he's another, you know, really, really high caliber option to be one of those like superstar role player type of guys. And then Britt's draft was Jalen Green, JT Thor, and Keon Johnson. So I think we've talked plenty about Jalen Green. What do you think about JT Thor?
So I know a lot of Rocket fans are really high on Thor. I think he has the potential to be a great player in the league. But in my opinion, I think he's going to be another Thon Maker, where he looks great in all his workouts and videos like and all that kind of stuff. But then when you put him into the actual NBA games, he's not going to perform like he's supposed to. I could be wrong. He could, you know, start out rough, but then develop into a really great player. You can see Giannis did that. He came in as a young teenager that was a stick. He was skinny. He didn't look like he would be anything, but then he worked. And then look at him now. He's an NBA champion. So I guess anything's possible. So I could be wrong about Thor. I'm just not as high on him as some Rockets fans.
Yeah, I think if I were JT Thor, I would be watching all of the Serge Ibaka film that I could, and trying to put on, you know, like 20 pounds of muscle, and, you know, kind of just trying to be that power forward / center that can step out and hit a shot, and be, you know, an athletic, you know, maybe not a complete ball stopper, but early Serge Ibaka, you know, had incredible defensive instincts, and size wise, they match up pretty well there. So if I were JT Thor, I would be watching a lot of Serge Ibaka, early young Serge Ibaka film. But I do think that, you know, he's one of those guys that, like you said, looks great in workouts, but then when it comes game time, it's just a different speed, and some guys just can't get to that speed. So I think it really will depend on the situation for him and where he winds up, as to how successful he is. Let's see, another prediction here from Lashard, my co-host. They're going to 100% trade for or buy a second round pick. So I don't know if they have the cash to buy the second round picks this year. But we've seen some stuff like Daniel House for a second round pick, potentially trading both 23 and 24 for a higher first round pick, like 17, and a second round pick. So you move up on one end and move down on the other. Do you think the Rockets can find a way into the second round?
Honestly, I do. You can just look at what they did last year with KJ Martin. That wasn't our pick. That was Sacramento's. And then we ended up, I believe if I remember correctly, literally buying that pick. So we paid basically to get KJ Martin. Mm-hmm. So I feel like Stone will probably do that again. He seems to be pretty good, or the scouting department in the front office is really good at finding low-end talent, or low-round talent. If you just look at Tate, they signed him to a great deal when he was available. And then you see Armani Brooks. He was another signee from the G League team. And honestly, you could look at Kyrie Thomas. He did great. He was a free agent. They brought him in, and he performed really well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think that's definitely been one of Stone's strengths. He's very good at finding those fringe guys who, you know, maybe other teams aren't really paying attention here or there. And he just kind of, you know, swoops in. I mean, Jayshon Tate, he was pretty much unknown to the NBA. Mm-hmm. And look at him now. I mean, he's first team all rookie, you know, looking to set himself up for a really nice payday after this rookie contract. So I definitely think that that's something that Rafael Stone will be looking to do. Yeah, the second round seems to be a really nice sweet spot for him. And I do think that it's, if there's a guy that they really like around the 17 range, I think it would be totally worth it to trade both picks, both 23 and 24 for 17 and then a second rounder, and get the guy that you really want at 17. And then with Stone's talent for deeper, or Stone's eye for deeper talent, you know, you grab one of those guys and call it a day. I think a lot of people would be really happy with that outcome.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you what, if one, if you had a bold prediction, and two, what your final prediction is for what the Rockets do on Thursday's draft.
Well, one bold prediction is that John Wall will not start for the Rockets this season. I feel like he's going to be dealt on Thursday in a trade for a pick. Possibly the Rockets may have to add some assets to dump him to another team, but I feel like he won't be playing for the Rockets this season. He's clearly shown in some of his like tweets, like you guys talked about in one of the past podcasts, that he wants to go play for the Clippers or he wants to play for a contender. And honestly, I'm okay with that because I feel like the Rockets need to have the minutes for their young guys. Kevin Porter Jr. needs to have the minutes at point guard so he can develop his playmaking and all that. And if we pick Jalen Green, he's going to need to be at either the two or the three to get his development. And then whoever we pick at either 23, 24, or if we trade for 13 and send Eric Gordon out, we'll have a lot of minutes open. And I feel like Stone sees that he may be a minute crunch if he's on the team, and that honestly it would be nice to send him to a contender so he can compete with the towards the end of his career.
Yeah, I think that is a real possibility for sure. Like you said, there's a need right now to get these young guys minutes, and John Wall is just kind of in the way of that, and that's not John Wall's fault, and mm-hmm. and I don't think anybody within Rockets, you know, the Rockets fan base has any vitriol or anything like that towards John Wall. I just think that, you know, it's time. And I think he thinks that as well. So I don't think there's any bad blood there. So what do you got for your three picks?
So obviously I think we're going to pick Jalen Green. Then at 23, I would love to pick Jaden Springer. And then at 24, either Cam Thomas or Trey Murphy. I think those are both great picks if they're still there.
Yeah, no, I actually like that draft a lot. So I'll go ahead and give my bold prediction. I think that it's almost guaranteed that Eric Gordon will be off of this team before the season starts. And maybe that's not super bold, but I would also like to throw the idea out there that the Rockets, this is not my idea and I'm not saying that this will happen, but the Rockets trade Christian Wood to move up in the draft. I'm not advocating for this. I'm not saying that I think that they should do this. I'm just saying that I think that it is a possibility and I could see it happening. That being said, I don't know where he goes. Maybe it's Golden State, who has 7-14. I don't know exactly what Christian Wood's value is to a team like Golden State, but I know this much. The Warriors currently do not need two rookies with their roster. They're ready to win now. Mm-hmm. So it's not I'm not advocating for this. I'm not saying that I want this to happen, but it is a prediction. So that's my prediction.
I hope we don't trade Christian Wood. I don't think we should. And I think the people that have been advocating to trade him for a higher pick, I think it's not smart because you don't know if that player is going to even turn out to be as good as Christian Wood. And people forget that Christian Wood has barely played any NBA games. He's played very few, and he's already shown flashes that he's capable of being an all-star player. And yeah, you're right about the rumors. They have been there, but I recently read that with the rumors about Beal's future in Washington, that the Warriors have turned their focus towards him instead of maybe Christian Wood or another player like that.
Yeah, for sure. If they can get a Bradley Beal, then I definitely think they go that route. And I agree with you. I think Christian Wood actually has the potential to be scoring like 27, 28 points a game. Because I mean, he, you know, had that in several games this season when he wasn't hurt. He looked, I mean, the guy can score with the best of them. You know, he made everything look easy. He had a complete scoring, you know, three level scoring game. And he's a big man, you know, so that's pretty rare. So, you know, I love Christian. I hope Christian sticks around, for the record. That's just my prediction, is not my my hope. I'll say that much. And then in the draft, obviously I think they're going to pick Jalen Green, and I've been on, you know, Jalen Green island for pretty much, you know, since the Rockets got the second pick. With the 23rd and 24th, I think there's a lot of different directions they could go. I would like to see potentially Sharif Cooper, but at the same time, I think guys like Trey Murphy, Cam Thomas, like you mentioned, Trey Mann, Deuce McBride, there are some really high quality, like combo guard / forwards in that area that I would really, really like to see on the Rockets. And you really can't ever have enough shooting. And you know, somebody like Trey Murphy just blows you away in that area. That's one of those guys that you can plug into any team and he can instantly make an impact. So that's kind of the direction I would like to see them go. You know, if they're going to be drafting Jalen Green with the first pick, it is good to have backup guards and all that. But at the same time, I really would like to see their front court get fleshed out a little bit better. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to briefly, before we closed up, talk about some of the stuff that's going on this week. So Thursday, obviously we know the draft is going on, but the Rockets are having a draft party at Carbach Brewery in Houston. You and I will both be there, mm-hmm. as well as, you know, some of the other folks from Apollo. Is there anything you're looking for, you know, looking forward to seeing while we're out there, and you know, what are your thoughts on going out and kind of getting to have one of these cool events now that things seem to be going back to normal a little bit?
Yeah, I'm just excited to go meet a bunch of Rockets Twitter people that I've been interacting with for a while now. And I'm also really excited just to see the Rockets have a high pick, because we haven't had one in who knows how long, because Morey loved to give those out like they were candy. So it's just nice to be able to watch the draft and actually have your team pick. And yeah, do it with a group of people. Sounds like it's going to be a great time.
This has been really different. I mean, like actually having to look at prospects and like actually find information, you know, about college players. It's really strange. It's honestly, it's kind of been exhausting. I know the second pick is what kind of makes it that way, just because there's so much drama
back and forth around that.
Yeah, exactly. And so it really has been kind of exhausting, but like you said, I'm super excited to like go out and meet people from Twitter and like get to hang out and see, you know, Calvin Murphy's going to be there and Kaylee Griffin and the TV crew, some of the 790 guys will be out there. Really looking forward to seeing all that. I think they're going to throw a really cool event. And, you know, after the year that everybody's had, I think it'll be a really good time for everybody involved. There is also going to be, look out on our main Twitter at Apollo HOU. There's going to be an announcement for a live show that we're doing on Twitter during the draft. And you just might hear from us out on the ground. You know, we may join from the brewery to kind of give the pulse on the ground, so to speak. So definitely be looking out on our main Twitter for that. That is going to do it for our show tonight. Like I said before, make sure you subscribe on Spotify and Apple, and make sure you leave us a review. Let us know what you think, suggestions. We love hearing all that stuff. And make sure you follow the official Apollo HOU account at Apollo HOU. Make sure you follow our Twitter account at Apollo Launchpad. We've got blogs, merch. We have a shirt dropping that I designed on Thursday. And I think you guys are going to be super stoked about this shirt. I'm super stoked about this shirt. And yeah, podcasts, we've got, I think like 13 of them now. Something like that. It's awesome, man. We have content podcast, every day.
Podcast talking about movies.
Yeah. So we've got, movies, yeah. One take out, pod.
One take.
Yeah. One take pod. Those guys are great. I mean, we listen, Apollo, we love bringing you guys content. We are constantly thinking up, you know, new ways to reach out to you guys and new ways to interact and just make sure we're bringing you guys the best that we can. So, as always, thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back for our next episode of the Launchpad Podcast.